A pawn shop should be close to bad, right on the edge of bad, just a little ahead of bad. Well, that's what Huddy Marr believes. The problem is Huddy's shop, Bluff City Pawn, is flanked by a grocer that closed 6 months ago and a liquor store that's recently been robbed for the third time. Huddy knows the decline by heart, and he desperately wants to leave too, but his desire to relocate is complicated by the fact that the shop operates out of a building owned by his oldest brother, Joe. With family tension simmering, Huddy and Joe's youngest brother, Harlan, returns to Memphis under mysterious circumstances. Now, he's sleeping on Huddy's sofa and working at the shop. For the first time in a long time, the brothers are not only reunited but depended on each other. But when a longtime client dies, his widow calls Huddy to come appraise his considerable gun collection. If he can buy up the guns, Huddy knows he could possibly change his fortunes for good. But he needs cash up front, and for that he needs Joe. Soon, Harlan is also involved, and just as soon, we know nothing will go as planned. Stephen Schottenfeld's first novel is a depiction of a city, a business, and a family. Schottenfeld is a graduate of the Iowa Writers' Workshop. He's received special mention in both the Pushcart Prize and Best American Short Stories Anthologies. He teaches English at the University of Rochester, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Stephen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, the book is out today, so first and foremost, congratulations.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Terrific. We'll get into the book in just a second. We'll note that Stephen will be at Odyssey Bookshop tonight at 7 o'clock for a signing and a reading and a celebration of the release of the book. South Hadley, Massachusetts, tonight at 7 o'clock. And then he will be at the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, on Friday night for a talk and a book signing at 7 o'clock. And we'll give information on those dates in just a moment. This is a debut novel. So how long has this been in the works for you?
I started researching it a bit in my final year of living in Memphis, which was in 08. I remember reading the opening chapter of it in 08, and then I guess I wrote it for about 5 years and revised it for about a year. So I had close to a six-year process.
As far as the process of writing a novel, you have written a lot. At what point do you say, okay, this is the story I want to tell? I'm also teaching. I'm doing this other work. This is the type of story that I want to work on for an extended period of time.
Well, I felt like I was creeping up to writing a novel for a little bit. The stories were getting a little bit longer. I'd written a novella then right before this, and you know, the next step just seemed to be the novel, and there's a part of me that wonders if the calculation of creating a main character that had two siblings was an effort to kind of push it outwards, and at least kind of have this triangle at the core of it. You know, in terms of when did I think it was a novel? I think novelists a lot of times talk about page 50 or page 100 as kind of these markers, and for me, page 100 was kind of a point in which I thought, well, I guess this is a novel, or at least I have to see it through. It might be a very bad one, but it seemed like there was enough momentum and enough at stake and enough that I needed to figure out and discover about it. And then the balancing of family and teaching and all the rest, I don't know. You just get up early and you get to your desk, particularly on the days that you're not teaching. The job at the University of Rochester certainly affords that pretty good balance of writing and teaching. So that in and of itself wasn't terribly hard. More the problem was I'm just not a very fast writer, so I just had to spend a lot of time with it.
I'm fascinated by your answer because I've spoken to many short story writers and many novelists who talk about the balance of short stories and novels, and that often a short story will evolve into a novel where you will write the short story. But it's interesting that you say you get 100 pages in and realize that you have a lot more to say.
Yeah, I did. And also the first 100 pages, a lot of what the final book is doesn't exist, because I think that there was a lot of fat, particularly in the first 50 pages. You know, I was writing about a pawn shop, a place that I didn't know much about going in. there was a lot of research, field work, whatever you want to call it, a lot of note-taking. I needed to feel very comfortable with the texture of that life. And so there was just a lot of incidents and anecdotes that got cut and got compressed once I realized that really wasn't the entire book, that wasn't really the through line, if you will. There was something that was also outside the pawn shop, which was about Huddy's family and also about the relationship with his siblings. So to say I wrote the first 100 pages, ultimately there was probably only about 50 pages of what became the opening of the book.
Speak a little bit about Memphis and the impact. This is very much a Memphis story and very much mm-hmm. impacted by place. So I would assume right. that was a place that had an impact on you.
It had a huge impact. I had lived in a lot of different places before moving down there. I moved down there to teach at Rhodes College in 2003, and I had lived in a number of places in the Midwest, and you know, I had grown up in the Northeast, lived out west a little bit, and I really didn't think of myself as a writer of place, not in the way that you would think of, you know, somebody like Stuart Dybeck or Faulkner or Daniel Woodrell, or you know, some of these other places, that writers that just have such a stamp, such a territory. Alice Munro with Ontario, and so I moved down there, and I think within a year I started writing about Memphis, which was a little bit terrifying because I think, you know, to come down to the South where there's such an identification with place and history. To try to approach that as an outsider felt scary, both in terms of what it meant for my, you know, just the voice that you were going to tell it in, but then also that I wasn't necessarily writing stories about outsiders that were in the South. It was, you know, very much, certainly in the case of the pawn shop, you know, about an insider, someone that really belongs, has this world within this world of the city. You know, all I can say is that I certainly had a lot of anxiety about writing about Memphis, but I just felt, I tried to flip that equation in my mind and say, what would it say about me if I didn't write about Memphis, you know, and I was a writer? There's such interesting people, such great language. You know, at least for me, I just felt like I was all ears and eyes when I was there. I think I had also come to a point in my writing where I was very interested in writing about work, and I was very interested in writing about a kind of journalistic approach to writing. You know, I really wasn't doing any autobiographical writing, and so Memphis, with all of its realness, is kind of a cheesy word, but you know, with its eccentricities, with its fault lines along race and class, its history, I feel like it was a place that, you know, when I lived somewhere else, I didn't feel like I was thinking about what was the experience of this place in 1968. You know, I couldn't help but think about Martin Luther King when I was down there, and so there were these big kind of urges to write about this spot, and so I just couldn't help but do it with all that trepidation that comes with it.
This is a story, and without giving too much away, and well, I won't give really anything away, but it's a seedy. It's a seedy milieu, correct? I mean, this is a well, we're talking about a pawn shop, but we're talking about a rather lower middle class environment, and people who are below the fray, mm-hmm. and that are fascinating to spend time with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because I would sort of think about, you know, what do those labels kind of mean to me, but also what do they mean to, you know, to Huddy? Because, you know, for him, that stuff really doesn't matter. It's sort of all about product and loan value. And so, you know, his reason to move from Lamar Avenue to Summer Avenue is not that it's not that it's of a different class or that it's safer or this. It's just that it's busier. There's just more of it. I mean, it's, you know, maybe it's up a little bit, not up a notch a little bit on the economic ladder, but his perception of that is certainly very different than you know, the town booster or mine. You know, but having said that, yes, he's dealing with characters who are, not all of them, you know, some of them are kind of just coming in to look at a gun, but on a daily basis, there's a lot of desperation, you know, a lot of immediate need. I need something right now. I need gas money. My electricity is going to be shut off. And so unfortunately then, well, I don't know about unfortunately, but then the calculations for him become, what do I believe? Despite hearing this story, what can I get from it? You know, not what is the story that you're bringing in, but what's the merchandise that you're bringing in?
I love this novel. It is Bluff City Pawn. It is published by Bloomsbury, and Stephen Schottenfeld will be at Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts for a reading tonight at 7 o'clock. You can go to odysseybks.com for more information about that event. Then on Friday night, he'll be at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont at 7 o'clock for a reading and signing. And you can go to northshire.com for more information about that event. Again, the name of the novel, Bluff City Pawn, by Stephen Schottenfeld. Stephen, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.